Okay, we continue with the Bavli on page Reish Tzadi, which is the end of chapter 27. We're talking about, if you're on a very high level and you're doing everything lishma, then you have to be careful that some of the things that are a little shalo lishma will sneak into your life. And then yesterday we discussed how the tzaddik says that this idea isn't only regarding lishma, but it's something that's everything in our life. I mean to say that person doesn't always, there always isn't someone to ask in life. And if you ask, you don't always, the one who's getting asked doesn't necessarily understand what's being asked. And a person can always make mistakes and build concepts, foundations that are not solid, and then develop a whole Weltanschauung based on a faulty concept. And now, so how do you deal with that? So that's what we're up to right now, right in the middle of page Reish Tzadi. Yeah?
Something to clarify here, because in my translation, okay, I was saying there, in the previous paragraph, it says, deep down, his soul, that means, has no sense of lishma. I don't know if you have that. That's the previous paragraph. So I was wondering, what do they mean, that deep down, the soul does not have a sense of lishma?
I think it means the eye. Not the deepest part of the person, but one step. In other words, superficially you think it's lishma. Then one step down, your subconscious really is shalo lishma. It doesn't mean the deepest part of the soul.
The deep down, the soul is quite the opposite.
And so I can't vouch for the English on that.
Fine.
Can't vouch for the English on that. Okay, we're on the part in the middle of the page where it says, Hasheela hi'efa. The question is, Ketzad be'emes yochol adam lios batuach shederech avodos anechona. How can a person be certain that his pathway in serving Hashem is correct? Since we're so liable to make mistakes and we can have biases over here, so how can one be sure that I haven't made a mistake? We make major decisions in life. You know, where a person should, what neighborhood should a person live in? That's an important decision in life. What school should you send your children to? Those are major, major decisions. So how do you know? So atshuva amitis l'misha machapes es ha-emesi. The true answer for one who really is searching the truth is, here's the rule of thumb. Anyone who thinks he is absolutely certain that his path is correct, toa tos yisodis biyoser, he has made the most fundamental mistake possible. If you are, I'm sure this is the right way, and I've got no doubts in my mind, then you're in the biggest trouble of all. Kol yama of every day of your life. Tzarech Adam is an extra word in the Hebrew. You got to take it out. Tzarech Adam lachshov as atzmo shema hu toa. A person has to always think to himself, maybe I'm mistaken. Umi deyom, and every day yispalu l'kadosh baruch hu, yedaven to Hashem every day. V'yivke me'umka d'lib, and you cry from the depths of your heart. Alma, and what? This is what you daven. Rabbeinu Shalom, ulai ani toa, Hashem, perhaps I'm making a mistake. Oh no, hamad osiel derech hames, please stand me up on the right path. Stand me up on the right path.
We should be asking our Rav for these.
So he's, that's true, but again, as he said in the paragraph, you know, not necessarily does the person getting the Shaila always understand it. A lot of times things, you know, a lot of times people ask me things and they don't tell me all the details. It's a very important thing. People don't realize that. It's just like you have a doctor and you know, the doctor says, tell me, you know, what your symptoms are. They tell you a few of them, but they forget. They don't tell you, the doctor, a couple real important ones. And the doctor, you know, based on what he's told, he does this, but you didn't say there's a family history. You didn't say that, you know, this has been ailing you also the whole time. You don't want to tell him because maybe you're embarrassed. So he only getting that base. What it is? So Rabbi will give you an answer based on what's going on. But you know, there's a lot of times people email me questions, and hopefully a good rabbi will know if people aren't asking them enough questions. The rabbi will ask them a few more questions. Well, what about this? What about that? What about that? But it doesn't always work out that way. And the truth of the matter is, a lot of people hear from an answer what they want to hear from an answer. I've had times when people told me about should they do something, and they give an answer, and they did the opposite. And I said, well, I don't understand. He says, well, that's what you said. I said, what? Because they come in wanting to hear the answer that they want to hear, and then when the rabbi's being diplomatic, and he's not being forceful, but he's trying to diplomatically say what to do, they're not getting through the diplomacy, and they came in hearing one answer before they heard it, and they can go out hearing the same answer. So that's, you know, it's all how you ask a question to the rabbi. And you can fool a rabbi. You can, if you ask the question, I'll say, you know, Shalom Bayis issue. So the rabbi will say, okay, tell me, what does your wife think about this? And he can say, well, my wife's okay with it. Well, she's violently against it. But I'll say, well, she's okay with it. So then the rabbi gives a certain advice, but the wife was violently against it. The rabbi would have given different advice. But the person, it's not always going to come out. Now, a lot of times, yes. And guess what? The rabbi has to have Siyata Dishmaya too. You know, sometimes the rabbi gives advice. And, you know, you always try to be tentative. You always, when you give advice, you know, say, let's try it out for a short while. Let's see if it works. You know, it's not in stone. So it depends a lot on a lot of factors. And even once the advice is given, situations change quickly. A person will ask a shayla about this and this. And when he asked the shayla, he had a job. And then 2 weeks later, he lost his job. He didn't tell the rabbi he lost his job. And then if the rabbi would know they lost the job, he would say, no, now we got to change the advice. You know, things got to be adjusted from time to time. The rabbi told me 5 years ago to do this, and I haven't changed. But maybe it was time to make some changes along the line. So it's not so simple. A lot of times people don't even realize, and the biggest problem is they don't even realize they should be asking a lot of times. And they think, well, you know, there was nothing to ask. So you can't always just assume, well, I always ask the rabbi everything, because the truth is people don't always ask the rabbi everything. Even those who think they do, they don't. So it can't be the only way. It certainly will minimize, if you ask frequently, it will minimize the mistakes that can happen. But just like the doctor, and it happens all the time, the doctor will say, okay, you know, try this, call me in a week. And what happens? They never call back in a week. Never. Even if it's better, they don't call back. You know, you have certain acute symptoms, doctor says, okay, try this. Right? And then the acute symptoms go away, but there could be some residual issues, but they don't call them. And I always tell people, you know, let me know how it turns out. And almost everybody doesn't tell me how it turns out. Almost always. I always say, you know, if somebody's sick or if somebody's this or you have an issue, I say, you know, call me back and tell me how it turns out. And unless it's 20 times worse, like, no one's going to call. It just doesn't happen. So, you know, there is something called follow-up. There's something called follow-up, and that's just not there. No one's insulted here. It's just the way people are. You go to the doctor, you know. I remember, you call back. Call me back if what happens. And if it gets better, you don't call back. You don't want to bother him, isn't that? But that's not always, because if you call back, and the rabbi would say, how did it go? And you'd say this. And, say, and how did so-and-so respond to it? There'd be certain pointed questions. Say, well, no, maybe it didn't work so good what you did. And why did you do that? I told you to do this. No, I thought you said that. There's so much miscommunication that goes on. It's incredible. So therefore, even after you're asking questions, you still have to ask yourself always, you know, you thought you understood what he said, but you did it a certain way. It's incredible. The mind can play games with people beyond belief. So how are you going to see? This, the first rule is, if you are so sure that everything is right, you know, then you're in big trouble. You always got to, daven d'Hashem, Hashem, please make sure that you keep me on the right path. Hasaba min Vardik, the altar from the Vardik, Rabbi Yozel, would say, Keshahaya kfar mevugar ma'od, when he was already quite old, he said, Shimhaya dea al adam hayachol ledabri ito laharasos emes. If he said like this, if I could know about a person who I could speak to that could show me the truth, gamim haya b'chusas, even if he lived in outside of Eretz Yisrael, I guess the altar was out of the land, out of my city, out of my country. I would travel him to get the truth. And when he said that, it was when traveling was not easy to go on a plane. Talking about early 1900s, I believe. Domingo on a horse-drawn carriage, bumpity-bumpity-bump, for a few hundred miles. You know, it would wear you out. But you know, if I knew I had someone who could mamish give me the truth, you know, then that would be great. Again, people are very complex, you know, and the truth is, not everybody's got the time that you need for this. I mean, to go really deep inside of you, you know, it's like a psychiatrist. You need hours and hours to really know 100% of who you are and this and that and everything else. And no one knows you as well as Hashem knows you. Right? So therefore, but if somebody could really give me the truth, I would go where I have to go to find the truth. And this is already a tzaddik. Kol yom v'yom, kol tkufa tkufa. Every day, every tkufa, every season, whatever, situation. Hayasabas atzal podek estarko. The altar from Slobodka would always check his ways. Im hayamitis, it was correct. O chalilo, if God forbid not. Gamim hi amitis, and even if it was true, miyomer shehi shaychaslo. Then again, who says it's appropriate for him? Sometimes you're doing something that's right for most people, but it's not right for that person. If he's a bigger tzaddik, you know, it's like big tzaddikim don't have a lot of role models. You know, it's good for the balabatim, but is it good for the tzaddik? You know, so that's, you got to realize. That's, a lot of people don't realize, you know. How come the rabbi can't do this? You know what? It might be good for you guys, but it ain't good for me. You know, well, aren't you our friend? Well, you know, it ain't good for me. That's all there is to it. So you got to realize. So, and that's always the struggle, a rabbi or anybody who's on a little bit of higher level than the chevra, is you can't, you know, go down to their level. You got to keep going to your level and looking up at people that are higher than you. So it becomes hard. But so he's always second guessing. You're always double checking all the time, every day. Did I do it right today? Did I not do it right today? And you're bound to make certain mistakes, and you have to be able to correct them quickly. But people who's, you know, you got to get used to saying, "Perhaps I'm wrong." Guy used to saying, "I'm wrong. I made a mistake. Wasn't right." That's got to be part of your language, and constantly changing and constantly adjusting to it. Then maybe you have a chance. Yes, sir.
I understand the veterinarian is very important for patients to constantly reflect back to see if there's correction, such as areas of needles and stuff like that idea. But it seems very very challenging when the Mechaber says that at each time you should always be checking to see if everything that you did is a mistake. There are times where you have to be making decisions, and you ask Das Torah, and you have to see under the Shemaya that it's the right decision. If everything I think is always wrong, that leads for phenomenal insecurity.
That's what we talked about yesterday, or the day before. And that's what he's going to say in the next paragraph.
But it sounds very problematic.
Okay, well, you know what? Let's just. Okay, you know what?
I bought an Astrog.
You know,
it's not the right one.
Hold on.
I sent my kids to a certain school. It's not the right school.
I understand.
You can't be thinking.
Good. So let me read the next paragraph. Let me read the next paragraph. The next paragraph is going to address. Let me just read a couple more paragraphs. Okay, there'll be time for questions. It's not only another page for the end of the paragraph, so there should be time for questions. I'm not expecting to go off topic too much here. Let's look at Rei Sayyaf. He's going to address your issue.
Okay.
Ein ba'olam musag she'adam yachol lios batuach. There's nothing in this world, there's no such concept in this world that a person can be certain. Rak reshoyim batuchim. The rush is certain. V'al tzadikim kol yimeim choshim shema einam oisim koroyas avodam atosalem. But the tzadik is always concerned, perhaps he's not properly doing his service that's upon him. Elish, here's the line. Underline this one. Elishiyach adin machshash, but together with the concerns, they still serve Hashem with joy. They're not neurotic. Judaism is not proposing neuroses here. But still you're besimcha. Why? Mishum shemitzidam hem olasim es ma'ashem yichom. Because from their end, they're doing what they can do. Hem ovdim b'kol chayicham ad kama shenitin. They're serving with all their strength as much as possible. U'spalim yom yom l'kodesh baruch, and they daven every day to Hashem. Shechavin osam l'emes, shemim tovim, that Hashem should direct them to the truth because perhaps they're making a mistake. But once you could say honestly, here's the point. Once you honestly can say, I've done all I can do. Now that's a big line there. And consequently, they are certain that Hashem will enlighten their way in the right way. So a lot of times when we had, you know, big issues, we went to certain rabbanim, we asked the shaila, and then my wife would always say, okay, we asked the shaila, so now let's just be the simcha. Let's just be happy with that decision. Even though we weren't 100% thrilled with the answer. Right? We weren't thrilled with the answer. And we said, you know what, we just gotta go with it with the best we can, and somehow it'll work out, you know. And if you see it doesn't after a while, then you go back. And he said, you know, he gave me this advice, and, you know, things are getting worse. So then he'll say, okay, well, let's try this. Or maybe you'll find out you didn't really listen to the advice as much as you could have listened to the advice, whatever. But you have to know if you've done it, but if you haven't stopped to double think and to introspect and say, I'm for sure good, that's the problem. But if the person says, you know, let me go over this again. Let me review where my life is holding. Let me review, okay, am I learning enough? Am I davening properly? Am I this? Am I that? Am I doing something this? Could I be doing something else? And go through it and ask somebody else and say, you know, everything looks okay. I've double checked. I mean, I'll call the rabbi. Maybe he has something to say. And everybody says, fine. Then go ahead. Then go ahead and daven to Hashem that he should guide you to keep you doing the right thing. And then be besimcha with that. That's all. And you may make some mistakes still. You may still make mistakes. That's okay. Because eventually you'll find them. Because if you're looking for them, if you're looking, you'll find it. And you're asking Hashem to help you find the mistakes, right? You think Hashem's not going to answer your tefillahs? If you go, Hashem, if I'm doing something wrong as a Jew, please show me what it is. You don't think he's going to show it to you? He'll show it to you, but you got to have your eyes open. You know how he's going to show it to you? He's going to show somebody else you know who does the same thing wrong and wants you to see it. You know? You'll have your friend, your neighbor, somebody else. He does exactly what you do wrong, and you'll see it, and he's hoping you're going to say, you know what, maybe I do it too. That's how he answers your tefillahs. But he may answer, and you don't even hear the answer. So many times, your mama see it. You see it. You're struggling with an issue. You see somebody else does this decision, fails, then you say, oh, I guess I shouldn't do this. So Hashem will help you. I mean, he has to help you. It's not Shaykh, he's not going to help you because this is so important for you. It doesn't cost him a nickel. You're not even asking him to change teva. You're not even asking him to give you anything. It's just, it'll open up your mind to see that you're doing something wrong. That's all. That's not on the high requests. You know, Hashem doesn't have to like change, you know, merits and schuyos and, you know, I don't have a job, give me a job. I mean, that's a little bit hard, not hard, you know, but there's a lot of other factors that may not allow God to do that for you. But for you to say you want to be a good Jew, Hashem's not going to want you to be a good Jew. He for sure wants you to be a good Jew. But you got to be listening very carefully to see what the answer is. But he'll give you the answer. Yeah, this was a hand, not a hand. You want the line between being a nudnik or not? The rabbi will tell you one. The rabbi will tell you one, and that's all.
No, but there's no formula like stupid things and not stupid things.
You know, if you listen to the answers, you can understand when it's a stupid thing. You know, don't worry about that. Just ask. And when the rabbi says, you know, I'm really busy now. You know, you know, I really don't have the time. Then you understand. You know, that's, you can always err on the side of caution. You can always ask more. And if they say no, I mean, I have certain people who email me a lot and it could tend to drive one crazy. I keep answering. You know, it's like certain halacha questions. I give an answer, but what about like this? Or like, cause that's the way their mind works, right? So I always answer it, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, if they're asking, I'm going to answer. Now, if everybody in shul did it, I don't know, then I'd have to stop. You know, but there's certain people I know, I'm getting 2-3 emails a week.
And you'd address it differently. You'd say,
whatever it is. But so you know, don't worry about that. Someone they'll always will tell you when it's too much. That's all. Yeah. Right.
Okay. Then he says there's no confidence in life, in this life.
It means you can't be sure. You can't be sure you're right.
But Tuach is more than
he's basically saying that.
Well, what was the next line in the English? Next line is the good line.
Yeah, but he's saying about certain.
What's the next line in English?
Together with the concern, what's the next line? He said, there isn't in the world, no one can be certain, right? Only the wicked are certain. That tzaddikim are always concerned. What's the next line?
Tzaddikim always question those, lest they not be doing what you require of them.
Okay.
Along with the questions, they serve Hashem with joy. Oh! Because they are doing their best.
Okay.
But it's, he's still saying you're never confident. I mean,
certain. I don't like the word confident. The English translation is not, I never said the word confident, to be sure. But Tuach means I'm certain. There's no certain. You can't be certain. That's all. You can't be certain.
Please don't take this personally.
You know what? Let me tell you the same thing. Let me tell you this. You know what? Before you ask, let me give you another example. So I go to Joby. Joby tells me what to do. He says, you know, your numbers are good. This is good. That is good. Okay, you got to lose some weight. Fine. So now I'm trying to lose weight. I'm losing the weight. Slowly, slowly. Right? So now, am I going to be certain that I'm going to live till next year? Am I? Now, Joby can't tell me anything else to do. I've done everything he told me to do. I exercise. I do this. I'm losing the weight. Right? He's checked me from head to toe. If I say, Joby, here, I got a little document. Will you sign, I guarantee that you will live another year. He'll never sign it. And what else can I do already? Can't do anything else. Can he be certain that Chas V'Shalom, there's some disease that's lurking there that is in the pre-detection stage? But he says, listen, you go to me once a year, and if anything bothers you, you call me, right? But you know what? Chas V'Shalom, a person can wake up one day and has trouble walking, and then all of a sudden something came very quickly, and then he can say, I'm really certain. I said, but I went to you, and I did this, I did that. Can you be certain? So now, what should we be? Should it be, what's that phobia? You know, you think you're going to die? You know, you're always sick. Do you have hypochondriac? Oh, maybe I'm going to die. Yeah, you could die. You could never be certain. But I did everything I could do. I'm besimcha. I know that, you know, I did everything I can do. And that's it. And if Chas V'Shalom is still not going to work out, that's beyond what I can deal with. Right? So the same thing spiritually. You're doing everything you can do. Mirtz Hashem, it's the right thing. You know, and if it's not 100%, you'll find out. You'll find out. But at least you don't have to die from it. You don't have to die from it. And so confidence? No confidence. You can't be sure. Certainty? I'm sure I'm right. But you tried your best. You tried your best. And I'm besimcha that I've done everything I can do. And that's all. And be happy. What if? Okay. So I daven to Hashem that what if I make a mistake? He'll show me my mistake. And just like we learned before that Reb Chaim of Lashon told the Vilna Gaon, so I too will go in Golis and regret it too. Remember, right? He said, I went, right? Vilna Gaon said, I went to Golis, I regret it, so I'll too do it. Okay, so then when you find out the mistake, there'll be some tikkun in that too. And you'll correct that. And that's all. But this cockiness where, we're for sure doing things great. And we're for sure everything's amazing. And I don't kind of, you know, try to look anymore. Then for sure you're done. Because there's no, even as you live, Hashem will always send new situations. That's what life is. Hashem sends new situations that you have to continue to grow in. And if you're not adjusting constantly, you're going to see that you're slipping. Right? So then that, you know, it needs the constant reevaluation. If you're going with certainty, then God's just sending all kinds of new scenarios that you're failing at, that you don't realize. And then before you know it, you're way behind. So you're always going to stay on top of your game. So that's, you're doing your best, and then you have to be the simple. There's no guarantees in life.
Maybe the word is complacent.
No, certain is the same. There's can't go with 100% certainty. You know, right? What was that line before? Even if the guy has his pasal for today and is even happy, you know, comfortable about today, that's even kfira. The fact the bread's right on the table, that you feel you're okay for today is kfira, because that could go away in a second. You know, that shows how much more you should be besimcha when things are going right. Right? All right. Am I on the next paragraph? Yeah.
We're about to start the second paragraph.
But all this is b'tnai with the condition shadam oisek kol yomav es kol mashetzarech. This is the line again. Every day you're doing everything you can do. V'mispal l'kodesh baruch hu yom yom. And he davened Hashem every day. V'afilu kam upam yom. And every, many times a day. V'boyesom ulai ma sheni ose zutoz. Hashem, maybe what I'm doing is a mistake. Ulai hatosu bepratim. Maybe the mistakes in the details. Ulai hatosu b'chol achlal. Maybe it's the mistakes in the whole general attitude. Ein bitachon b'chaim. There's no certainty in life. L'achashadam yotze minay l'mazeh. Only when you leave this world. Yachalu l'das b'emesim ose karei lo. A person is able to know the truth. Did he do things properly or not? When Hashem shows you the movie, he's going to show you ever with all the color commentary. Can imagine, you know, just like you have, you know, retired football players or coaches who, you know, they after every play they tell you what the play was. So you can imagine in the world to come, you'll have a running your movie, and there's a tzaddik giving color commentary. And this is where you thought you did the right thing. No, it looked like you gave the tzedakah, but look at all the gaiva that was there. Can't you even see the gaiva the way you were smirking and this and that? Wow, I didn't notice it. And it'll rip it to shreds, you know, in terms of what it really was. Then you'll find out the truth. But that's only later. Because lebezin shomal, when you go to God's court, v'chekres omek levava, and they inspect the depths of his heart, as yuchel adas, I'm saying you're able to know the truth. Ach boel mazeh ein emuna b'shum dover. In this world, there's nothing, you can't be sure about anything. That's what it says in the book of Job. Hein b'kdoshav lo yamin. Even in his holy ones, he doesn't have trust. Meaning to say, v'lo rak shakodesh baruch edemam. Not only does Hashem doesn't have trust. Elozoi avarosa shakol yachad v'yachad. This is everybody's job. Even the biggest tzaddik, Hashem says, you know, who knows if he's going to stay that way. As our rabbis say in the Gemara and Brachas, al tamin ba'atzmocha ad yoyim ma'yischa. Don't trust yourself until the day you die. Right? How could Yochanan Kohen Gadol be a Kohen Gadol for 80 years and then be a tzaduki? How's it possible? The guy went lifnai v'lifnim. He went to the holiest of holies for 80 years and didn't die. He had to be a tzaddik. But there's something was ruminating in there. Something that, you know, God can't punish you in this world for, but there's something in the midos, something that just wasn't right. And then, boom, the right, you know, the wrong set of circumstances, he can go off the path. So until you're dead, there's no guarantees that you're going to stay on the right track. And the intent of that chazal isn't shema rak mochar tikosho, that maybe only tomorrow you'll stumble. It means that you can't be sure till you die, because maybe tomorrow you're going to be a wicked person. Because that can't be. You don't become a tzaddik of Russia the next day. That never happens. It can't be. One day you're a tzaddik, one day a Russia. Right? The famous, with Elisha ben Avuya. Acher, right? He was a Tana. Like, you know, it's like Rabbi Akiva. You know what I'm saying? Imagine Rabbi Akiva one day sees a father tell a kid to shoo away the mother bird, and the kid shoos it away, comes down, falls, breaks his neck, and dies. So if that's the way it is, I'm giving up Yiddishkeit. Come on. You know, imagine, Rav Elyashiv. Imagine Rav Elyashiv, chas v'shom, should never happen. He should see a nice Jewish boy go up a tree, shoo away my bird, fall out, and say, you know, I'm giving up Yiddishkeit, I'm going with Olmert now. It can't be. It's not possible. So how would, you know, Elisha ben Avuya, you know, Elisha ben Avuya was a no good, he's a Rebbe of Reb Meir. Okay? This is a big guy. So what was it? So you have to know other places in Shas. Other places in Shas, you know what, but he delved deeply into philosophies that were outside of Yiddishkeit when he was a youngster. He had a little bit too much secular studies in his youth. He said when he got up from the Gemara, there would be, you know, Greek books. What do you mean? He wasn't Chasson wanted to be a Greek, but you know, you have to know what they're talking about. You have to understand their point of view, blah, 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 blah. But he got too much into it. He got too much into it. Of course, he's a Jew, but it has residual impact. Residual impact, you know. He exposed himself to things that he thought it wouldn't bother him. Wouldn't bother him. And then when push came to shove, there was enough lying under the surface that now we just need the right set, or better, the wrong set of circumstances, and that'll push him over the edge. And that's it. And then, so it's not like he was a tzaddik, 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 and then one day, phoop, he lost it. That never happens. That never happens. It means underneath, he's losing it. He doesn't know that he's losing it. And things are just going and going and going. And now we just need the wrong set of circumstances and pushes him over the edge. And that's what it is. And that's what we got to always be careful about these things too. You know, these things, the situation is right. The circumstances are okay that it's not pushing me to the breaking point. But if it really was, you know, do we really sincerely, you know, our davening, our learning, all these things, are they really mamish l'shem shemayim? Hashem can find it very easy. He'll make life a lot more uncomfortable, and then we'll see. He could easily do it. Easily do it. You know, you lose your job, and then the next job, it means you got to be there earlier in the day. All of a sudden, boom, you won't see the guy there for davening again the rest of his life. Why? Well, I got a different job. What could I do? So that can't be. If a guy's been davening for 10, 15 years, there's no such thing as not going to Minyan anymore. Right? Once you get to a certain point, it's like it's unthinkable. What do you mean? What do you mean? Not to daven a Minyan? It's impossible. Well, what can you do? That was no new job. That's the way it is. What's going on? That means you weren't davening with a Minyan properly for the last 15 years. There was something there that you weren't keeping an eye on. It can't be that all of a sudden there's a shift like that. It just can't be. Right? So that's the issue. So it's not that tomorrow you become the rush all of a sudden. But you have to be concerned that right now I'm on the wrong path. But it just doesn't show up. This might not be the path that great rabbis went on. Maybe I don't understand it properly. Maybe I'm not applying the service for myself that's appropriate for me. You know, you have certain guys, all of a sudden, they're putting on a long black coat. And they can barely read Hebrew. But they're putting on a long black coat every Shabbos. Oh, now I'm a big rabbi. You know, I'm not saying you shouldn't put on the long black coat. But did you ask anybody? No, I thought it'd be cool. I was in Williamsburg, so I figured I'd buy one of them. I was in Borough Park. It's really cool, so I'm going to buy one. You know, what do we talk about? What do we keep talking about? We're talking about your spiritual profile. It's got to suit your profile, what you do. Oh, it's really cool. I think I'm going to learn Kabbalah now. You can't read Hebrew. You don't even know a pasuk of Chumash. And you're learning Kabbalah. Like, what a joker. So that's a fundamental problem when a person's doing that. What do you mean? I see the other guys are learning Kabbalah. Yeah, they're 40 years old. These guys know Shas backwards and forwards. They're learning Kabbalah. What do you mean? I've been about you for 5 years already. Do you understand? I already know a lot of Derech Hashem that the rabbi spoke out. I already know how to keep Shabbos. They think they know how to keep Shabbos, right? I know how to make brachas, right? They know how to make brachas. No, they know how to make... You understand how inside I laugh when people, you know, they try to impress me how much they know. You know, I already know all six brachas. Oh, very nice. You know, all six brachas, you don't know when to make them. You know, at least say, you know, but I'm... Certain people, like, you want to laugh. Like, they're giving me their professional, halachic opinion on issues. Well, they don't even know what Gemara it comes from. That's the way life is, you know. They're not bad people. Chasson, not bad people. They don't know how much they don't know. I know how much you guys don't know. like how much you really don't know. So, the more you're learning, you're beginning to see how much you don't know. Right? You open up this world of the Rambam, and we do the Rambams quietly, it doesn't look so bad. But then I say, yeah, but we don't make this bracha, we don't do this bracha. Ikker tuffel. Most people still don't know what bracha to make on chont. Right? Don't know what to make bracha on chont. And if you give any answer, you're wrong. If the bracha is this, you're already wrong. Because you got to first say, it depends. If it's in this kind of situation, then the following three rules apply. And if it's in this situation, then the following three rules apply. So know you're a grub amoritz. You can amoritz. And therefore, you got to learn a lot of halach. So mirtz Hashem, there's nothing wrong with knowing you're an amoritz. That's fine. That's a good level. To know, I don't know. That means I got to put more time into learning. I got to put more time into learning. You know, that's okay. I'm going to try more. I'm going to keep learning more. Got a chaser. Got a review. Got to learn. Okay. Then you're on the right path. But people say, everything's fine by me. You know, like the more we're learning is halach, is we're cringing. You cringe at a kiddush now. Like there must be hundreds of brachas levatolas made. And that's what I want. Forget about the ones who aren't making brachas. The ones who are making brachas might be worse off than the ones who aren't making brachas. You know, what's worse? What's worse? Enjoying the world without thanking God, which is a bad sin? Or saying God's name in vain? Right? So you got the people who aren't so from, they're sinning by enjoying the kiddush without making brachas. The ones that are from are making the wrong brachas. So what did it help that we got them from? They still don't know what brachas to make. Right? It's incredible. And the rabbi gets punished for all of it, you should know. God says, you're the rabbi, how did it come you didn't do anything about it? Oh, you did wrong. Right? So you gotta say, listen, I offered the classes every Tuesday night, you know. But what can I do that only 10 people show up? What could I do? It's still not gonna, it ain't gonna wash. I'm gonna be in big. I mean, if we had only four or five foods, so I could kind of write, we could give everybody a card, you know, if you're gonna eat this, do that. But we're like, every week it's another exotic, menu. And nothing wrong with that, but you have to be halachically adept to, or at least, you know, I'm not that inaccessible to kiddush. Rabbi, what bracha do I make on this? No, I've never, no, only one person. It's the same person. The person who emails me three times a week. Ask me, what bracha do I make on it? You know. But the whole, I mean, it can't be. So I know how many things are going wrong at a kiddush. I would say, what are you talking about? This, Rabbi, so obviously. Make a mezonos and a cake and a shekel on the drink. I said, what are you talking about? It ain't that easy. So, I'm just saying, and this is just one little area. This is one little area, making brachas. You know, how about emotions? How about midos? At least brachas is something you can put your hand on, you can hold it, you know? Like, did you make the right bracha? You know, you're making a bracha, either it's right or it's wrong. But now we're going to talk about, you know, how you treat people and things like that, which is so subtle. You can't even understand it. It depends, you know, what's up there? In other words, is it something that brought you, the question is it bringing you closer to Hashem or is it taking you further away from Hashem?
Well, I'm peaceful with Hashem. I know that I did the bracha, but actually I did it wrong.
That's right. So let me ask you, it's your wife's birthday and you go and buy her a lawnmower. Davar shekotzer et ha'esev. Yeah?
And you don't have a
right? You buy her a lawnmower. And she's looking at you like you're crazy. And she's yelling and screaming. She says, dear, why are you so upset? I know I got you a present. I was thinking about you. She says, you're crazy. She said, I know I made a bracha. Hashem said, do you even know how to make brachot? Did you check? You know, what it's involved in making a bracha? You know? What do you mean? You were so sure that everything is this bracha to make on that? Did you? You know, the fact that a person can be so sure that there's a problem there. You know, it's like scary now. You almost get to the point. So that's why I say l'charav. So what bracha do we make already? Say l'charav. He says, okay, make this bracha. And don't worry about it. Let the rabbi worry about it. You know, this is, or do this and do that and get out of this issue and you're fine with it. You know, we learned the brachas ha-reach, right? Brachas on fragrances last couple of days. Go crazy. You know, and you see people making brachas on fragrances they shouldn't make. they're smelling, you know, you can imagine a lady picks up a bouquet of, her husband gets her flowers, she, a dozen good stark roses, and she tells her, she didn't realize she just did an avera. She didn't make a bracha on it. And then there's the lady who makes the bracha, and when she's not supposed to make the bracha, because there's no halachas. So, it's just one little, it's like one little thing in Shulchan Aruch. It's like one chapter of the Shulchan Aruch. It's how many? It's over 600 chapters just in Or Chaim. Okay? And it's like one chapter. It's like a little one. It's like, you know, blow your mind out. What's going on over there? So you can realize you don't know what's going on. You know, and this is much easier. It's all in a book. You know, feelings, emotions, lishma, and all this stuff. You can't even measure that. It's so much harder. Right? Anyway, he says it again. You can't be certain in life about anything. There's only one thing we do. You got to daven to Hashem. He's going to show me the truth. You know, show me the truth. You know, I got an email from somebody yesterday. This guy from South Africa. I don't know the guy for beans. He's a cousin from one of the members of our shul. He's gonna make, I guess, aliyah to Canada. From South Africa to Canada, it's the aliyah for sure. Depending where in Canada, right? You know, now it would be a bigger aliyah, maybe somewhere else, but no, and for him to go to Israel would not be aliyah for this guy, the way I saw in the letter. He's not ready for it. He wouldn't be able to have. So he said, I heard from people that yours, the community, is the one I should go to. So now, you know, and then he decided, and then his rabbi told him, if you're leaving, you should go to the Westmont community. I guess we have some name in South Africa. Okay? Just to have hope for mass migration from South Africa, we'll be doing okay with membership. Right? So now, where did he get that from? Hashem, you know, and of course we know this is the place for him to go. There's no other place in Thornhill for him to go but to this place. He says he's Shomer Shabbos, they keep kosher, he davens a minyan three times a day, he's been at the Eshet Torah in South Africa or whatever for 4 years, so where should he go? So you think he knows? So people can, but of course the best place for him to go is to our place. So there's Shiloh, he's got a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old girl, you know. So he wants me to call him, you know. So I said, fine. But where did he get that from? Somebody told him to go there. So where did that come from? You got a daven for it. And what if somebody says, you know, it'd be better to go to so-and-so place. You know, and you know what happens when you go to so-and-so place. You know, you go to so-and-so place, it's so-and-so Yiddishkeit. And then no one's pushing you there to grow, and nothing, and there's not that group feeling. Right? So what did he do? He didn't do anything. Just, you know what? People said, you should go to this place. His cousin said, you should go to the place. His rabbi said, you should go to this place. Shem is telling him. And then you have certain people say, you know what? I know, rabbi, you told this, but I think I'll go on my own and investigate everything on my own. I think I'll shul hop all around, and this and that. So this is what you got to daven to Hashem, that people will straighten you out and put you on the right path. Okay, one more paragraph. We'll finish up the chapter. Hasakana hagedola beyoser. Shoreves the shomea estivrein akan. The greatest danger that orev is ambushing the person who's listening to our words right now. What is the danger? Hishiyachshav shiyesh lo derech bruh. The person thinks I have a clear path. Who kvar yidei? I already know. Bef shurusel lanasu hasel. I already have the ability to begin. Vuvadei say I'll certainly be okay. The guy's confident. Who amnam yatzliach on sos. He may succeed in trying. That you could be sure of, that you'll try. But you can't be sure you're going to succeed. Unless you cry every day to Hashem. And ask him, Hamideini al derech emes, stand me on the right path. Maybe I didn't understand it properly. After you call the rabbi, the rabbi gives the advice, you just turn and cry, Hashem, I hope I understood what the rabbi said correctly. There's no certainty that you're going to step on the right path. Hashem should give us that we should be close to Him and to service. He should lead us on a path that's fit and suitable for each and every one of us. Amen.